Blog Talk Radio.
His disciples asked him, "But Master, what manner of prayer shall we do?" "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for all being here, Rod, Yola, FT, and Ron. We are talking about... thank you, Rod. You're so sweet. Bill's friend, Boomer, passed away last Saturday. I did receive a call from Bill because he didn't want me to go solo, not knowing what was going on today. He is attending Boomer's funeral today. And, of course, I asked him on the phone because I had not had a chance to ask if Boomer was a saved man, and he said yes. And I said, praise the Lord. Then he's home with his father. And, you know, we need to hold up people for healing because I know this is going to hit Bill hard. Bill was 8 years old when he met his lifetime friend, Boomer. So that tells you a lot. I would like to hold up everyone in Patriot families because everyone has their sorrows at this point. I want to address Yola with her some medical problems. me with a few of mine, we all need healing, whether it's spiritual, emotional, family stuff, physical. We should be held up. Rod, for his loss of his beloved. Terry Rowland, who goes through waves of grief for her beloved, which was pretty recent. Ron, for his father, who is getting ready to take off. And we love him, and it's really it's difficult. It's really, really hard. Oh, you're welcome, everyone. Everyone. And I wanted to shout out for also Robert Kaplan, who his sweetheart, Leonie, her brother passed, I believe it was, that I heard the other day. So I just wanted to... hands on BTR. We need some praying, healing hands on BTR. Let's hold that up for healing. Absolutely. Okay, folks, and thank you for being here. I wanted to talk about the spiritual things because this is very important, and that Bill mentioned also that several times that Boomer was so happy to spend his part of his final days with these great people. He had heard a lot about Wolfie, and these folks like Matt and Wolf played these beautiful guitars, etc. And he's I've got pictures posted on Patriot Families, and I know Ron remembers because he was right in the middle, and Bill was doing the Jim Beam or whatever they had of the bourbon, and Boomer was drinking, and they were toasting each other, and it was just a wonderful time. And Boomer said he'll never forget it, and I'm sure he thought about it from that day forward until he went home to see the Lord. So thank and Bill said on the phone, he says, I'm just glad he's not suffering anymore. And I'm going, amen, dude, absolutely. And you guys go to the website, check out the Delaney pictures. We had a wonderful time in Delaney. We were so pleased that Boomer got to enjoy that because, wow, I mean, just amazing. And you guys check them out under forum photos. There's all our Delaney pictures from last year and this year. Just amazing stuff going on there. And, yeah, it was just, again, the fellowship, the food, the everything. Just, you know, talking about politics, drinking, smoking, eating food like crazy. It was the lake, everything, just amazing. Can hardly wait to do. I'd like to do 5 days next year, absolutely. And Rod, you're driving me. I'm dragging you out of your Arizona house, man, and we're going. So, again, I just wanted to touch, and again, anyone that wants to call in, I'm only doing an hour. Bill is at the funeral today, so he's burying his friend. Exactly. Fellowship, man. This is something that's so important. And I am so moved by at least being able to just, you know, read the Bible again and doing these things. I've been lax because I was sick, so I need to get back into it. It's just so comforting. Again, I want to hold up everybody on Patriot Families, and anyone that I missed, we'll cover it all, the entire group, and hold them up for in prayer for healing, for whatever is going on in their lives, because we need that. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what I saw on Glenn's show, and also I saw it on The Blaze and on the internet. And this was, I'm going to be really nice because I just talked about the Lord's like, but I will explain who I'm speaking about. And this would be your friend and mine, Dopra Winfrey. The B and C word, and that's not what you think, Bilderberger communist, but we'll start with there. And I love Ron's interpretation of the anagram, I think it's called, can't understand normal thinking. Love it, because that explains what happened today. I'm going to go and check this out for you and read it. Okay. I don't know if you guys know, and I didn't know until today about this, because I, you know, back in the day, I was pretty young when all this went down. During an interview with NBC News, Oprah said there is a clear parallel between 2012 death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin and the 1955 murder of a 14-year-old Emmett Till. That was in Mississippi. This kid was from Chicago, I believe, and he was vacationing down there. She said the two stories were the same in her mind, even though Till was brutally tortured and murdered by two white men after allegedly flirting with a white woman. Those circumstances aren't quite the same as the ones surrounding Martin's death. So why is Oprah equating the two? And, of course, Glenn was giving his reaction at that point. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. If you can go to The Blaze and check that out, Ron, you will absolutely be horrified. And there was an incredible a person that Glenn was talking to, a young black woman who's a correspondent. I believe she might even be the new Blaze correspondent in Washington, D.C. And she was just livid at Oprah for what she did and what she said. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So we need to know the history of these things, and we need to know. And again, if you guys want to call in, please do talk about this, because to me, that woman is despicable. She's a hypocrite. She's, as far as I'm concerned, the minute she started doing her political thing and touting Zero on her show and wanting him to be the president, and I knew by listening to him who and what he was back then, I never turned her on my TV ever again, and never, I just would have nothing to do with her. Then I found a lot of other things bad about her too, with her school in Africa and all these things. So she's an evil woman as far, and she's not real smart. I don't care what anybody says. So the other thing I wanted to go into, this race baiting and stuff is despicable. So I saw this on the internet. I wanted to go into it because it says a lot. I'm sure that Ron has a few things to say about this one, because he's so cool into the monetary thing, but it was just like really cool to see it. It says minimum wage hurts the people it is intended to help. Many people around the country are calling on the federal government to raise the minimum wage from the current level of $7.25 per hour. Here in California, it's a heck of a lot more than that. Some believe the minimum wage should be at least 9 or 10, while in D.C., the city council believes the minimum, at least for large retailers like Walmart, should be $12.50 an hour. In New York City, the workers in the fast food industry believe the minimum wage should be $14.50, but is raising the minimum wage a good idea? Some argue that a worker being paid the minimum wage cannot survive. At current levels, annual income of minimum wage workers would be about $15,000 per year. This is barely above the poverty rate for an individual and far below the poverty rate for a family of four. So don't these people need more? Well, although the argument appears valid, the reality is that minimum wage hurts exactly the people it intends to help. That is because anytime a price or wage is set above the market equilibrium, surpluses result. A surplus of labor is called unemployment, which means that raising this wage causes unemployment. Let's look at why this occurs and the numbers that support that claim of higher unemployment. Correct. Ron says the minimum wage should be set by the market, as we will soon see here. If there were no minimum, the market would set the wage at the point where the quantity of labor supplied, people seeking jobs, would exactly equal the quantity of labor demanded, the number of jobs available. So that unemployment rate would be zero, except for some seasonal factors, some factors concerning people between jobs or people on long-term disability. Suppose the equilibrium wage would be $5 per hour. If that's the case, what happens when we set the minimum wage at $7.25 or higher? Okay, let's say at $5 an hour, 100 people seek jobs, and at $5, there are 100 jobs available. If we raise the wage to $7.25, more marginal workers, those who seek jobs but don't necessarily have to, like recent high school grads who could go on for more education, would enter the labor force, increasing the quantity supplied to, say, 120. In addition, at a wage of $7.25, there would be fewer jobs available, say only 80 instead of 100. So that at the $7.25 wage would have 120 people seeking 80 jobs, resulting in 33% unemployment rate. Boy, sounds like a depression back in the 30s to me. There would be fewer jobs available because some workers simply aren't worth $7.25 an hour to the firm. If we look at the latest figures for the unemployment rate, this seems to be true. While it was recently announced that the overall unemployment rate is 7.4%, the rate for teenagers is almost 25%, and the rate for minority teenagers, especially in Detroit, is some inner cities is close to 50%, and that's been documented. The rate for women entering the workforce for the first time is over 20%. The minimum wage is hurting just the people it intends to help by causing very high unemployment rates. But what about the argument that the workers need more? This is not a valid argument in our economy. well, a free economy anyway. To show why this is the cause, let's assume we have 100 workers who get together and produce 1,000 units of output per day. At the end of the day, it must be decided how to divide the output, which becomes the income of the worker. There are basically two ways to do this. One is we can divide the output evenly so that each of the 100 workers receives 10 units, regardless of their contribution, kind of like the labor unions. The logic is that each person should be paid according to their needs. Oh, how Marx of them. Since each person has similar needs, they are paid the same. This system may have some success when the society is concerned with the lower levels of needs like food, shelter, clothing, and safety, but the system fails in the long term since there is no incentive to work harder, like the union clowns, and produce more. No matter how hard an individual works, their pay is the same. Oh, boy, that sounds like communal work. This is why the system failed in countries like Russia and China, and is failing in countries like Cuba and North Korea, where the standard of living is extremely low. I don't even want to go there to find out, I can imagine. The second way, as we theoretically, that's the key word, do in the United States, is to pay an individual according to their contribution so that someone who works hard figures out how to improve the production process and makes a large contribution may earn 40 units of output, while a worker who barely contributes may earn only 2 or 3 units. This is not an equal distribution of output, but rather an arguably fair distribution. In this system, individuals are encouraged to produce more because their earnings will increase. This results in growth in the economy and vast improvements in the standard of living. So the argument based on a worker needing more is not valid in our system because we are paid according to contribution and not according to need. Well, I hope that comes to pass someday. The bottom line is that increasing the minimum wage will hurt the people it is trying to help by reducing the number of jobs available. And boy, we've seen that. Encouraging more people to skip further education and enter the job market and raising prices of products to consumers likely by a large amount, considering the rippling effect that higher minimum wages would cause on the entire wage structure, because they have to, if you want people at McDonald's for that $1.50 hamburger to get $15 an hour, talk about inflation. They're going to jack up the prices or they're going to not hire anybody. It's nuts. Hey, CH, welcome to the program. Thank you guys so much for coming. The best policy is really to eliminate the minimum wage and let the market decide. Then an individual would know exactly what the value of their output was worth. Unemployment would fall dramatically. Growth in the economy would accelerate, and there would be little wage-induced inflation. Everyone would benefit. Of course, we have to figure in the mix the stupid Federal Reserve and the rest of that nonsense, and then we could really have a good time. However, the cost of value of currency will soon enough be par with China. Yes, absolutely. See, we've got, that's why I had to say that we have an evil monetary system, and you already know that. We've talked ad nauseum on every subject on this as we can. Again, please call in 646-378-0321. I've got about 40 minutes left, and I really would love to hear from you. And conspiracy this week, please feel free and welcome to the show. 646-378-0321. I'm going to type that one in. 6463. We always welcome calls, and make sure that you go ahead and call either on Skype or you can call with your cell phone, however you want to do that. I welcome everyone. And again, we started out the show giving tribute to a great friend in Indiana. And he's my co-host normally, good old Bill Strong, but he's taking care of some business today and it's kind of sad. So we just want to say God bless everyone back there and everyone who needs healing and help with their personal lives at this point. We have to help each other. So we will all be slaves. Nice economic policy. You have my vote. We already are. Again, please call in and voice your opinion on these subjects. I don't know if you want to talk about Oprah's stunning ridiculousness or the economic situation. We have people talking about Obamacare defunding. We've got distractions up the wazoo. And the one thing that a lot of people are not talking about, they are talking about Benghazi, but not to the extent that it should be. The one that really chaps my hide is the one that nobody talks about, including Glenn, and that is Extortion 17. And we can go into an incredible story on those things, because I believe that those people were ordered down. They were sent to their deaths by this administration. There, I can imagine the incredible long laundry list of deaths associated with this group, since the mysterious deaths attributed to the Clintons is about 3 pages long. And I'm going to bring in my great friend, Constitution Hour, Mr. Ron Golden. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, Miss Linda. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. I'm drinking wine for the first time in over 2 weeks. And I'm hoping I'm actually well. Oh, my God. So, welcome, everyone.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the minimum wage, it goes back to price controls. You
yes,
know, it didn't work in the Roman Empire.
It didn't work in Europe.
Diocletian. It didn't work in Europe.
It didn't work here in
the Soviet Union. It didn't work in Germany. It didn't work in England.
Or
it
Italy.
Won't work here.
Oh, of
or
course.
Anywhere else.
But look, here's what's been going on, and it goes crazy, because I remember I have worked in the restaurant business for many, many years, you know, whether bartending, waiting tables, culinary arts, all this stuff. My good friend, and I worked for him for many years, he's out of the business now because his wife left him long enough, you know, long story. But anyway, every single time that they did this to him in California and jacked up the minimum wage, he had to either lay off people or cut every single person's hours, all of us. And he had no choice. One of the worst things that happens to a man who owns a restaurant is your labor cost. Man, that's it. I mean, and then you got to negotiate with the clown in California that's jacking up your rent for your lease
right.
of the building. It's crazy.
Well, see, and this is where I think, as a society, a lot of us, we go off the rails. Because whether we want to admit it or not, you know, it's been a pretty long-standing observation of mankind that man is not self-sufficient in all things, nor should we be. I mean, it's good to be a jack of all trades and have some
right.
utilitarian abilities, and it's good to be as self-sufficient as possible. But, oh gosh, I don't know who this guy is. I was just reading in the thing. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Plain
yeah,
and simple.
Well, sure.
And the idea of a capital market, a true
right.
free market, okay, is that people are good at something. We all have a gift that we're
mm-hmm.
good at something. And when there is a need or a demand for our particular ability, that creates a marketplace.
Right.
And so
right.
so money is just, you know, that barter tool for us to be able
sure.
to barter. So we talk about supply and demand. And not all commerce, not all capitalism is evil. You know, and that's what I was telling Conspiracy this week. I'm not concerned about my job necessarily because I have a trade skill. It's not...
Yeah.
it's a service economy, but
right.
I have mechanical aptitude, mechanical abilities. I fix things. I can repair things.
Yes.
I can do machining. I can do, you know, blueprinting. I can do a lot of different things, but my knack is with internal combustion engines and
right.
transmissions and drivetrains, automotive things, and I'm very, very good at it, very competent.
Well, you know, I mean, you're one of these folks, if you had enough wherewithal in it, you might, you know, to be able to hang your own shingle someday. I mean, if you had to, you know, and then you could.
Well, I have, but privately, not publicly. I'm not going to go get a damn business license.
Right, right,
and
absolutely.
Pay the state a cut of my labor.
Oh yeah.
No,
that's
ma'am.
What I'm
going to. I'm going to.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to do it out of my garage, out of my domicile. And I'm going to do it for cash, and that's just it.
Well, you know, what I've noticed, of course, now I've had to go to the doctor the past 2 weeks for, you know, little things, but my guy. He's pretty cool, and he definitely he knows that I'm self-paid, that I get discounts for cash. He, you know, those things with the medical billing, and they have these codes. Everything's on a code.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, and he's so cool. He's really cool. He says I charged you the least little bit I could for the entire thing, and I said, oh, thank you. And yeah, I mean, these guys, some of these guys get it. They know what's coming down the pike.
It's like CTW is talking about. He's absolutely right. There has been created within our market economy jobs that produce absolutely nothing.
I know.
They're not productive in any way. And in that way, they're much like our monetary system. It's productive. And you end up with the banker, the guy that's conjuring up this credit money, getting the most benefit when everyone else in the equation, if, for instance, buying a home, they're the ones putting all the value into the equation. The banker has placed no value whatsoever in the transaction. None. They act as an intermediary for the flow of the money, and they're skimming off both sides. So,
well,
I agree wholeheartedly. There are some things that desperately need to change. But when we look at China, for instance, someone working in China for $3 an hour, in China, $3 American an hour is a living wage. $3 an hour U.S., not so much.
Yeah,
and
here.
That's why they want. That's another reason. You know, raising the minimum wage is not going to get all these people back to work.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And part of the reason that you're not
going to
get
Part
of the reason you're not going to, if the minimum wage goes up, you know what's going to happen to the benefits they're paying? They're going to increase the benefit payment, because
first
by raising
all,
minimum wage, you're raising the poverty level, right? So then you've got to raise the benefits paid out to people that are on the EBT and SNAP cards. I mean, it's just, it's a COLA. It's a cost of living increase.
And the problem is in many, many, many businesses, I don't care whether it's a small business person, whether it's a small chain, I don't care if it's Wendy's or McDonald's, they are going to cut people's hours because they can't afford it. They cannot afford that high thing. And they're going to raise their prices on top of it.
Let's take the most reviled business in the world,
right?
aside from banking.
Okay.
The oil business, right?
Oh,
these evil rich oil companies. Never mind that they actually make on the order of 2 to 3%
profit.
Not
much.
Okay?
No, they don't.
The fact is, they sell mass volumes of product.
Sure.
Huge amount of product. So, yeah, they got a lot of profit, but it's 2 or 3%. If you want to see profit from the oil industry, look no further than your damn federal government and the Federal Reserve Bank, the petrodollar. Now, there's some serious profit for no production. They've done absolutely nothing.
Look, okay, when I hear these people, who was it? Was it Keith Ellison or whatever the heck his name is? This Muslim Marxist nonsense person talking about, there's plenty of money, but the problem is the government just hasn't stolen it yet. Well, he didn't say stolen, but he meant it, you know. I mean, this is what makes me crazy. These idiots think that it belongs to them. I'm about ready to blow a gasket, and that's why I loved when you played that little song yesterday. Of ass kicking. I mean,
It's on your switchboard there.
Okay. I don't know where to find it though.
It's under A.
Oh, yep. God. I can't.
Just scroll down. It's only like 36 seconds long.
Got it.
So.
Got it. Well, I'll do that in a minute. But look. And this stupid idiot in the White House. And every time he opens his, I'm about ready to just blow my mind. He's talking, and so does Paul Ryan, the puke. They all say the same garbage because they're all from the same school of Keynesian crap. That they think we have to figure out how to get jobs going. The government creates nothing except misery and pain from where I sit. They create zilch.
And I don't know. I don't know if I sent you that article yesterday. That it was some flipping Islamic senator that said, you know, we're not broke. We have plenty of money, and the government deserves it. It belongs to the government. Oh my God! Yeah, that's the one I sent you. Okay.
Yeah, that's Keith Ellison. That's the one. Oh yeah, I've heard this guy before. I wanted to reach through the screen and strangle him many times, and that really tore it. Oh, I know. It's crazy.
But let's go back. Let's go back. How many years ago on my show did I tell you that the thought process of the progressive liberal idiots and in government in general is that the money that you earn belongs to them, and anything that you're allowed to keep is considered by them a tax cut?
I know. Yeah. He was talking about the social contract and the tax cuts because they think that it all belongs. It's nuts. They've never heard the word private property. They wouldn't know who the hell Benjamin Rush or Thomas Jefferson would if it was if they came up and slapped him in the face with tar and feathers.
It's no different than that panel on that damn C-SPAN show the other night, and the you know progressive liberation black theology bullcrap. That, you know, I keep waiting for someone to rise up in the black community and just jack slap one of these people.
I know. Well,
because
you
know it
can't
come from somebody like me because I'm just a racist.
Look, yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Well, they're playing it to the hilt right now. I mean, with that remark from Oprah Winfrey, Glenn was horrified. Absolutely. And I don't blame him. I mean, I was calling her every, you know, everything I could think of, and then some, before I went on the air. I just couldn't believe it. You know, this is, it's blasphemy, it's ridiculous, it's Marxism. I mean, it's pure totalitarianism, and everybody's going down that road, you know, of the old Fabian socialists, the eugenicists, the New World Order, and the state is all-encompassing, and the Borg collective.
I'll tell you what, you know, with that one guy, and I don't know if you watched the whole thing, he's like, it's dark out here, okay? It's going to get a lot darker, and I'll tell you why. If you can't realize that these very policies that they're peddling is what's causing their starvation and their food deserts, as he called it. You know, we're approaching the point where we're going to be upside down. We are upside down in our demographics. And you're going to have more people on the government dole than there is working. We're already there.
The ones in the cart.
Right. And what the hell do you think is coming in the next 5 years as the remainder of the baby boomers begin to retire and fall off of the rolls? And that's why they're talking about means testing Social Security.
Oh God!
I agree with means testing it, because you know someone that has a retirement portfolio of a couple of $1 million, they don't need to be collecting Social Security.
No,
they really don't.
It actually is pocket change for those guys. Look, I've said this 1,000 times, and you know it. If I, you know, get my act together, or if I even had like another extra $10,000 sitting around on top of what I already have. I swear I'd go to North Dakota right now and open up a gourmet catering truck. I'd make a fortune. I could tell them a pound sand. I wouldn't need their damn money.
And I'm telling you right now, I am telling you right now that in less than 2 years, Japan is going to be at 125%.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So what happened?
Their demographics. There will be 25% more people on retirement than there are work eligible people in the country.
Yo. Oh my gosh. Oh, you mean because they're living longer and there's a lot of elderlies back there?
Yes, and they're not having children, and so you've got a lot of people that are already at retirement age and a lot of people that are on retirement, and everything over there is government run. You know, it's not like where you've got, I'm sure there are some, you know, private investment and that kind of thing. But in the next 2 years, they're going to be upside down by a factor of 25%.
Yeah, we're headed there. I mean, look.
It's absolutely unsustainable. They're already at 250% debt to GDP. It's absolutely unsustainable.
It's horrible. I know. I can't even imagine how much longer this is all going to hold together. Because, you know, everything that they did, whether it was Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and all the rest, and, of course, California Medi-Cal, but just take the two biggies, which are huge in our deficit, right? All this unfunded liabilities, the Social Security, giant Ponzi scheme, never should have been. This is crap. None of this crap should have been here. You know, this is what the problem is. You get the damn government involved. They screw up everything. They destroy so much. I don't understand it.
Well,
and
we tolerate.
Nobody gets
it. We've just tolerated, you know.
And the people. This is one of my arguments, and people don't understand. Who the United Nations are. They are a whole group of petty little damn dictators trying to do a new world order on us, and nobody seems to see it. I mean, like I said, my God, you know, 1.5 years or less, you know, 2 hours of good hanging out on the internet at one night and looking up this stuff on Agenda 21 would get you there. I mean, good grief.
Now,
how do you miss this stuff?
Conspiracy theory this week dropped a link in the chat, and I went to it. Now, the first story that shows up, just days after country's worst ever train crash, Saudi Arabia has granted a Spanish consortium a $7.88 billion contract to build 3 metro lines in Riyadh. Now, I can't see the rest of the story. I haven't looked at it yet. I got Dollars to Donuts says that Spanish consortium is called Cintra or Ferrovial Group.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty easy to say because I already know that Ferrovial owns all the light rail in Europe. They own 78 or 80% of all the light rail in Brazil and Central and South America. They own the Sydney airport. They own the airport in Heathrow in London. So why should I be surprised that, you know, Cintra or Ferrovial is going to get a contract to build... We have been trying to get their foot in the door to get the Saudis on the hook for a very long time.
Oh, wow.
Read John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, I'm telling you.
Wow. Jesus. You know, it's so unfair. And the other thing I came across today, I think I sent it out to you and Mike from the hot seat, put it on Facebook. My friend Chris keeps her eyes and ears glued to what's going on in the schools with the children. And, oh, I don't know if you've checked your email, but hopefully it's in there. This was about this indoctrination in all the schools on paganism and the Egyptian gods and goddesses. It was absolutely putrefying. I can't even – there's not enough barf words to talk about. I was sick. It's horrible what they're doing. It's just the Gaia worshiping, the plays they were. This is like 8, 9, 7, 10, whatever, kids. I was disgusted. I put it on Facebook. I emailed it to everybody, and I said, oh, my God. I made sure I kept some of it so I could send it out again. It's evil, absolute evil. I mean, blasphemy just up one side and down the other, just disgusting. This is what's going on in our schools right now. And, what drives you nuts, where the hell are the parents? They don't look at what their kids are learning? And I guess they're okay with this? Maybe that generation, because they were indoctrinated up the wazoo, they don't get it. They think it's perfectly fine. Where I'm at, I can see it. I think I said it on your show. I was sitting listening to the nonsense going on down in San Diego because of Bob Filner. Oh my Lord, that idiot. Well, they had another press conference today. Gloria Allred just came out and really threw down the gauntlet on this clown. But now they're worried about, like I said, they're worried about, oh, well, who's going to take his place, you know, for mayor if he's recalled? And they kept going, oh, you know, we have to have a progressive one because we need a progressive San Diego. All this stuff with the solar panels on every roof and the rest of it. So this is what I'm up against. I mean, this is what you're up against. Everybody, look who they vote for. They vote for these people. It's astounding. And then we got the Wieners. Oh, and the other one that came out, that was Barney Frank, no surprise. He's a pot-smoking atheist. Oh, really? Never would have guessed.
Oh, I thought you said pole-smoking atheist. I'm sorry.
that too. Well, we knew that. That stupid schmuck actually got nuptials. Oh, my God. Look, I can't believe it. Well, we got one in the White House. Nobody cares. We've got, you know, we got Hildebeest. The former first lesbian. Nobody cares. And she lies and people die in Benghazi. I'll tell you, there's going to be overpasses. If she runs, I'm going to plaster her picture on every overpass in California. And I'm going to make sure that everybody... I am.
Mike Church mentioned that today, the overpass thing. He said he didn't know what was going on, but yep.
Yep. Oh, it's huge. In fact, tomorrow, if I can make it, I'm going to try. It's right here in Pendleton. The Zero in Chief is coming to Pendleton tomorrow. And at 12 noon, we're going to have a big overpass deal.
Maybe you need an effigy swinging from... Well, no, that might be considered, you know, hate crime or something. I don't know.
My mom suggested I try to take him out myself like a Navy SEAL. And I says, Mom, he's not going to be even in that range. But... Okay, now I know DHS is going to be all over my ass today, I swear.
Well, as long as you don't have your pressure cooker in your backpack, you know, okay.
Oh, God. Do I have envelopes filled with rice in? Oh, I'm sure they'll come after me now, sons of bitches. Oh, I can't stand it anymore.
That is awesome.
Huh?
Hey, Doc said they won't let you near any overpass. He will be going under.
He's not, you know, he's helicoptering in from Orange County because he's going on.
Oh, well, now, you know, we couldn't get that lucky that all the terrorist chatter that they're worried about it be one of those stray Stinger missiles finds its way. Well, never mind. I didn't say that.
Yeah, anyway, no, he's going by chopper because he's going on Leno tonight in L.A. in Burbank. And then he's going to go hang out with his whoever, you know. And then he's going to go, I think he's traveling to probably one of the airports in Orange County, and they're going to chopper him into Pendleton because it's like, what, less than 20 minutes from
maybe one of his Al-Qaeda buddies will get a hold of one of those missiles from Libya and give him the George Zimmerman treatment. I don't know.
how about all the stuff that they've been pumping into Syria and, you know, with the Benghazi deal, and there's some, who knows what's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen. Like you said, just getting rid of him is not going to do it.
No, because by God, we'll have good old Joe Biden backing him up.
My head will explode.
he couldn't possibly be any more incompetent.
Joe Biden is about as smart as a box of rocks. I'm sorry, that guy is really... look at his gaffes. I don't even know where they found him. But, no, what would happen is they would make the creep a martyr, and then there would be civil unrest in the streets, you know, from the blacks and the morons. So there you go. And I also found out that Organizing for Action, you know, Obama's little brown shirts... They're going out touting gun control again, and they're also going around they're trying to infiltrate all the town halls this August around the country to tout Obamacare. So
that's because they're worried they're going to get shot when they start rioting and trying to steal.
Let me tell you something. I hope I'm at one of these town halls. In fact, I put out the feelers today to find out if ICE is doing any because I want to go. It'll be local enough I can get to it, and I'm going to have signs, and I'm going to be heard. And if I see any of those clowns, I may have some snide remarks for them because if I see organized for action sign, I think I will just come unclued.
I heard today that Lindsey Graham and John McCain are over in Egypt.
Oh, my God. Both of them? The two traitors?
So, you know, we could maybe we could hope for a trifecta here.
I know. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It'd be a good start. But, you know, if Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi were with them, you know, that'd be a really good start.
I got another list, too. We got Valerie Jarrett and Harry Reid. And
we get Charlie Rangel in there. You know,
Dingle,
Max
Dangle, Rangel.
A few others.
Oh my God.
Faye Bainer. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, the little crybaby who goes to the tanning booth and then goes out and, you know, hangs on Obama's shoulder in the back room to smoke, right? Oh,
yeah.
He makes me. That's what he's. Oh, this is what just. God bless America. I'm going to play this for a second, and then I'll be back. Hang with 19 seconds. We got to do this.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're going to have to send me home. Because I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
Love it. Anyway, no, I was blogging today on something. I think it was Facebook because, you know, I had so many things going on with those people. And I always say, you know, we need to stop this. We need to stop consenting. Nobody listens. I mean, I was in answering to many, many posts with a lot of intelligent people out there. And then hopefully I will be heard in some of these venues because it's just about to make my head come off in space. You know, I don't know what the answer is. Everybody's in the same boat. Nobody, you know, nobody wants to go marching around with pitchforks and torches and arms and everything else. But I just keep saying, stop complying. My show tomorrow, you know that those guys, the guy that did blue collar comedy, I can't remember his name right now, but if you might be a
Bill
redneck
Ingville,
if.
Here, oh, yeah.
The guy
that would
says,
be Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah. You might be a redneck if, so I've got, you might not be free, you might not live in a free country if, and I got a whole list right in front of me. I'm going to do my show tomorrow.
You might be a slave if.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm just getting started on this sucker. It's like, did you guys, I don't know if anyone, a lot of y'all aren't into this stuff, but when I was a kid, I did a lot of musical theater, and the old Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado was about ancient Japan, and they had the Lord High Executioner. Well, the Lord High Executioner had a little list that he wanted to execute, and upon the little list, they'd none of them be missed. And so he's got this Chinese-looking scroll, right? You know, the two edges, and it's rolled up with rice paper. And so he's standing on stage left, and he's ready to unroll it, and it goes all the way across the floor out to the wings. He says, I've got a little list, but it was hysterical. That's my list, baby. I got news for you on every front.
Russ said he could hear that clear out on the front porch.
What was that?
I'm about to whoop somebody's ass. He heard that clear out on the porch.
Sometimes these audio sound bites come out really loud. Yeah, they kick it up.
We have to remember that Rod is in his advanced years, and
he did work
on a boat, so he's probably got the volume turned up really loud, but.
Oh, we're just giving you the business, Rod. Oh, we love
you. He knows I'm just teasing him.
That's the fun part, you know, that we have this family. That's what I was thinking about today. I've already, you know, conceded to the fact that I'm getting older, you know, by the second. But that's
I can't get away with using that phrase. Just my wife would protest vehemently.
Yeah, but
that I am not more mature.
Okay, and then you always say that she's your senior, but by 3 years, honey, 3 years is nothing. I bet I got that.
Not 3 years, by like a year and.
Oh well, my goodness! Oh my goodness! That's like a blip. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, like I said, with the Patriot families, and that's why I started my show the way I did, because I have never met this kind of group of people where I feel like we've known each other since the beginning of time. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's truly
so cool.
Family. Yeah.
Yeah, and what's and I think one of the reasons, Ron, is because we're Christians. I really, really believe that. That's where I'm at. I've come to the conclusion that it's because we love the Lord the way we do, and we understand it, and we try to live it. You know, we're not going to make it all the time, of course. We're going to fall short.
Well,
but that's why I think we are so cool.
I think that, and it's mutual respect. We respect one another as human beings.
We got, you know, Yeah, we've got a lot of libertarian in us, man. I think
well,
that, you know
you
what
know,
I mean?
You look at, the group, and I always, that's the first time that we met up at Delaney. I was moved to tears, and I told everybody there that I was absolutely humbled by the people that I'm surrounded with.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, I'm very comfortable. I live a very comfortable life.
Right.
I worked hard to get it, and I know what it's like
sure.
to be just absolutely dirt poor. But I see this group of people that we have, and most of you guys are not comfortable, well off, you know? And,
right.
And you're still standing up for the right principles.
Exactly,
and,
because that's where it's...
See, that
yeah.
is so humbling. It's easy for
you know,
me to be mad that the government's stealing my money.
Exactly. No, here's the thing. You know, look, when you have a group of... You know what Bill used to say, and I remember him saying it several times. And he says, you know what? He says, some people call me a hillbilly, but I got news for you. I'm an educated hillbilly. And you know what? There's your difference, Ron. We are not afraid to open up several, and I mean several books, and get into it. And I mean get into it huge. You know how much I've learned in the time I met you on online and when
Absolutely.
We started doing the shows. So, yeah.
And to me, that is the reward
yeah.
beyond compare. I've been around
yeah.
to see the light bulbs go off with you, with Yola, with others, you know. It's that aha moment, and it's like,
sure.
yes.
So I know that, you know, I did something right.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think we all feel that way. Whether we strike out at a city council meeting or a Delphi meeting or whatever, it doesn't matter. We just pick it up and go on again and do it again. And that's the whole point, you know, just keep doing it. And our principles don't fail. And this is where we're at. We understand where we want to be. We don't mess with our values and principles. And that's how the founders came to come with what they came up with. And they used Levitical law. I mean, they used everything. They used everything they could.
And, you know, I think from my standpoint, at least, when I came into this whole thing, when I started back in 2003, you know, when I very first started out, I was a man on a mission because I wanted to fix it. And it became apparent to me pretty early on that there is no fixing it. And so I think the only way to repair
right.
what's been done is to get people educated so that
oh my gosh,
when it does collapse,
I know
we can from the ashes rebuild something.
I gotcha. Yep.
Correct and right, and these people aren't going to be fooled anymore.
I agree. I mean, there's only one way to look at this, and you know, we're looking at it biblically. We're looking at it from the founders. You cannot compromise on these things. You just can't, and that's why we're so fed up with Congress. What have they got now? A 2% approval rating? I mean,
my God,
that
is all I heard when I was up at the Capitol here in Georgia.
Oy.
When I was a lobbyist, is compromise, compromise, compromise. We have to compromise.
Oy.
Everything's
oh, no.
a compromise,
oh, no.
and I'm
oh,
like, no,
no
you're wrong. Compromise is what's gotten us.
Yep.
to where we are today. We have compromised our principles. We have compromised our rights. We have compromised everything that is right and sacred about the United States of America
oh.
and about our Constitution and our law.
Yep.
We have compromised ourselves into
yeah.
oblivion.
Yeah,
the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, let me tell you, from what I know, I don't think they were well-intentioned. there may be a few dolts out there that don't get it, and they just come along to get along.
I mean, when I say that, I mean on the part of the American people, by and large.
Okay.
We have allowed most of this because it was presumed to be well-intentioned. And what do we get for all of the well-intentioned
right?
turning the other cheek thus far? We
get
berated, we're called racist. And we're not doing near enough. and we just need to give up everything that we have.
Yeah, of course. No, this is total BS, and you know it. This is what I'm talking about. Anybody like the FDRs and the Congress of the past and the Lincolns and the rest of them, which we should all just dig them up and put them back in the Ford Theater and shoot them again. But, you know, I digress. No, seriously. These people, I don't believe any of them had any good intentions. And anybody that may have thought that way back then were so naive and sucked in and drinking Kool-Aid. You know, they had their blinders on already. Whether they were servants or not, it doesn't matter. So the ones who are at the highest level, okay, we're talking to the Rothschilds and the rest of these clowns and the Saudis and the powers that be, no. There was no good intentions on their part. You know damn well that there wasn't. From what I've read, not one.
I think Lincoln had good intentions. I just think that his agenda was wrong.
Yeah, well, what do you expect from a Chicago, Illinois lawyer? We got one of those now.
He wasn't really a Chicago guy back then. I mean, he was born in Kentucky and, you know, raised in southern Indiana and Illinois. But nonetheless, the guy was, you know, he wasn't a total horrible individual. And I think that he was just misguided or misplaced with his ideas, his thinking. Some of it was brilliant. It's just unfortunate.
Well, the greenbacks was.
Right. It's just unfortunate that he acceded to the idea of the fascist system, the British mercantilism system.
Yep, absolutely. Hamilton was the same way, I know.
Yeah. Well, Hamilton and Henry Clay, those were his, you know, the people that he admired and looked after and thought after their ideas.
Yeah. You know, it's, look, I'm of the ilk that if we do have a phoenix rising, if some of us do survive, I hope I survive. Now, if the collapse comes and I'm in the hills of southern Indiana, I probably will survive. If I'm in California, count me out, honey. Just say a prayer. Say, okay, Linda's with the Lord now. You know, and then carry on in my stead. That's all I can say. Because that's why I carry what I have. I have eons of paperwork from my old shows. I have probably 50 pocket constitution bound by rubber bands to carry around with me, small ones I got from Eisen's office. How ironic. I have history books that will not quit. I mean, I've read stuff, Ron, that, as you know, can boggle the mind. I actually got through the road to serfdom, and I did pretty well. I've read so much history in the last 5 years, it's boggling my own mind, but I love it because it helps me understand what the hell we're up against and why we got here and how we got here. And if you don't know that, you know, then you're screwed. Absolutely.
I started today, and I had almost forgotten that it was on there, but on our website, Patriot Families, if you go to my page and scroll down on the left-hand column, there's a link. And that link will take you to a main page of courses, college courses that are available online.
Wow.
And if you click on history and then go to the American History, Civil War, and the Reconstruction era.
Okay.
There is a Yale college course online about the Civil War and the Reconstruction era.
Wow.
I would encourage anyone and everyone to go watch it. It's a video course. It's no different. It's just like you're sitting in the professor's classroom. And he actually was the first academic that I heard approach the idea that I already had formulated, and that was that under Lincoln and the Civil War, the United States of America, the Constitutional Republic, was destroyed. And what was reconstructed out of that was this new nation, this national union.
Yep.
And
I know
what we have today.
I know. Okay, thank you so much for calling, and it was great because I didn't have a whole lot planned, you know. I got the news, of course, Monday, and I want to say be blessed and thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. I got a great show planned talking about stuff of the day and why you're not free. So that'll be fun. And just for the last few seconds, everybody enjoy. Thanks, guests, Rod, Luke, FT, Ron, so much, and everybody. Prayers for everybody. Wow. Oh, God, Ron, you're just like way ahead of all of us. Anyway, I want to play this one, You Surround Me. It's a beautiful song. Thank you so much for downloading it. Good night, everybody.